Stroke. The hotel sign blinking in the brain of my body stops blinking, but not the whole sign. You know, just a couple of the letters, the H and T, the E and L. So all that is left when the whole left side of my body comes to an end is the O. I'm sitting across from a beautiful woman drinking coffee, and she is asking me what I did. What were you doing when you were in your 20s, she asks. And I'm saying something like, I was doing a lot of drugs. But the words come out all slurred. They come out like pushing your tongue through a clay door. The word drug becoming droog. And then free will floats up and out. Really, it flies. It leaps off the ledge of me. And I remember while falling from my chair to the ground, trying to apologize, the half of my brain that was still alive as a deer standing in a meadow in the morning, licking dew off the blades of grass, telling what was left of me that I was just tired. You're just tired, the left side of my brain said. You're just tired. This is normal. The normal, not normal blood clot in the right side of my brain, wiping everything away like a teacher, wiping chalk away with an eraser, the blackboard full of sines and cosines, and then just long strokes of white, a white field in winter, a white sky before rain, a white sheet of paper. Through the tunnel of my body, I could hear someone ask me, "Are you okay?" My whole life, someone asking me, and so often it was me, "Are you okay? Are you feeling well?" I'm just tired, I thought. And then this thought, I'm not. A hand on the hand I could still feel. "They are coming," the voice said. "It's okay. You will be okay." The sound then of the ambulance from far off, the sirens getting closer, lights and sirens approaching my body from a street far off. That's something I never thought of before, that sirens are always approaching a body. That's the whole reason for them, to let everyone know there is a body. I thought of my son at home, 17 months old, pointing to the window in the living room, saying, "Siren, siren, siren," and up, up, up. I was lifted up onto the gurney, my shirt cut off in the ambulance, and arriving at the hospital, the triage nurse asking, "Are you Matthew Dickman?" "Yes." Up, 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 I thought. Death is not a design, not an idea. Death is the body, I know this now. It's your arms and legs, your whole cardiovascular system. It is the whole of us, only we walk around enough to think it isn't. The blood clot is doing its job. It's doing exactly what it was made to do. And the only thing you need to do when you are dying is to die. Nothing else. You don't need to fold the laundry or clean the kitchen floor. You don't have to pick your children up from school. Unlike the rest of your life, there is only this one thing. You don't even have to be good at it. You just have to do it. A list of chores with just one chore. In the operating room, I'm awake, made to stay awake, while the surgeon threads a line through the artery in my groin and up through all the rooms, through the room of my legs and the room of my chest, through the room of my neck, and into the room of my brain. When I put my son to bed, I give him a bottle of milk and rock him and sing, "It's time to rest your body, it's time to rest your mind. It's time, oh, it's time to rest your brain." The surgeon is able to grab the clot and slip it through and out of all the rooms into the one he's working in. I can hear everyone in the operating room clapping because they are happy, because it took that one try to get it all, to remove the clot, and then the left side of me begins to move again, and there it is. I have to pee, My body is done with this death. And now there's nothing to do but wait for the next death. I have never been more inside than that moment. I have never wanted anything as much as I wanted to stand up in that room and walk out through the automatic doors to you, to walk right into your arms, like walking into the sea.